back to this episode of the Beaver Dam. I'm your host, Trent Mashburn, along with Patrick Philman. Pat, how are you been doing this week? And I know you have something else you want to talk a little bit about today.
Trent, it was a really good week until about a couple hours ago when found out about the passing of a legend in the basketball world, and Kobe Bryant. An inspiration to me, one of the main reasons why I wore the number 24 for basketball. And he passed away today in a helicopter accident with his daughter, another player that was on his daughter's AAU team, and the parent of the player as well as the pilot. So just absolutely devastating news. And Kobe Bryant changed the game of basketball. He is the reason why so many other kids coming out of high school were so successful. He's the one who paved the way for LeBron to be able to come out of high school. Carmelo Anthony, who just played 1 year at Syracuse, but was just an inspiration. You think of guys looking up to him as well as, you know, Chris Paul, Dwayne Wade, Luka Doncic, who's now a young player, looked up to LeBron and Kobe. And you just look at all these guys that were teammates with Kobe, and they just talk about, you know, he was a different breed in the way that he trained and the way that he played the game. And everyone should play the game the way that Kobe Bryant played the game, and have the mentality that Kobe Bryant did, because he had that killer mentality. He would do whatever he had to do to win. So the sports world lost a phenomenal player, but an even better person today. And so my heart hurts. I know a lot of people's heart hurts. Trent, not even really watching basketball as he grew up, knows who Kobe Bryant is. He knows the impact that Kobe had. And I just remember all those times the Lakers facing the San Antonio Spurs, and it was Kobe Bryant and Shaq versus Tim Duncan and Tony Parker and all those guys against each other. And it's just those matchups. And I'll forever remember that, because, you know, for my age, you know, Kobe Bryant was the first guy to watch. So rest in peace, Kobe. Mamba mentality is how Trent and I are going to get through this Beaver Dam. And Trent can kind of talk about, you know, he didn't know Kobe and watch Kobe as much, but he knew about the impact that Kobe had just on the sports world in general.
Yeah, like Pat said, I was a wrestler, and I didn't grow up watching a lot of TV, watching a lot of sports. But, I mean, I feel like almost everybody our age who is involved in athletics in some form knows who Kobe Bryant is, and not just about how good of a basketball player he was, but just how he was an outspoken person, and he would not only impact the way basketball, but impact like people in general. I'm a big like YouTube watcher. I like watching highlights and just players that intrigue me. And Kobe was one of the people that, if I was watching a basketball highlight, I would always go and watch Kobe Bryant's basketball highlights, because just the way he played was unlike any other person. Probably one of, if not the best scorer in NBA history. And it's not going to be the same with him not being here. I mean, after he retired, he went on and he would talk during pregame or postgame shows. And I do believe he had his own show where he would break down.
Yeah, he had his own show on ESPN Plus where he would just break down players and what he liked out of them, and what maybe a different move that they should have done, or a different pass that they should have made. So that was really cool, and just all together. And, you know, we talk about Kobe because we know Kobe. But, you know, also rest in peace to the rest of the passengers and the pilot that also passed away in this crash. And hopefully we find out more information, and, you know, exactly as to why this helicopter crashed, what caused it to crash, you know, what failures happened, and to just give not only his fan base, but more than anything, his wife and his other daughters that closure. He just had had a baby this past year. So rest in peace to Vanessa Bryant, Kobe's, or, you know, excuse me, rest in peace to Kobe Bryant and his daughter. And our thoughts and condolences go to Vanessa Bryant, Kobe's wife, and his other daughters. But on a better note, I did get together earlier today with Andrew Renner and TJ Mills, and we just broke down and talked to them a little bit about their 1,000-point scoring. Like just a couple weeks ago, they scored their 1,000 points against Defiance. So we went ahead, interviewed them, and this is what they had to say about that night and what it means to them to score 1,000 points at Bluffton University. I'm here with 1,000-point scorers TJ Mills, Andrew Renner. Just a few weeks ago at Defiance, both seniors scored their 1,000 points of their career. And my first question for these guys is it a little bit of a competition to see, you know, by the end of the career, who has the most points? Are we keeping track here? Because I don't know. That's the first thing I kind of thought of.
Renner's. No, I'm no competition with Renner. I think he's on a different level when it comes to the scoring thing. But I'm proud of him. You know, we came in together, and, you know, to see us grow and get our 1,000 points is really good. So I'm proud of my dog.
I agree that it's not a competition, but I don't agree that I'm on a different level as you. I think we're at least on par with each other. No, it's just great to see someone that goes, like, we root for each other. I've watched TJ play for 4 years now. It's great to see her accomplish something as great as this. So
obviously, both going into that game, you guys both kind of knew there was a potential that you could get there in that game. Is that something where you kind of know how many points you have left, you know how many points you scored, and it's kind of like on your mind to where you know, like, when you scored that 1,000 point, did it add any pressure? Like, did you know, was there a little bit added pressure? You know, what was kind of the mindset in that game?
So I actually was not aware of how many points I needed. I made sure that nobody told me. I had an idea that I was close going into the Defiance game, but I did not want to know the exact number for that pressure reason exactly. So I don't even remember how many I needed, but it was a bit of a relief, I guess, to say that when I knew that I hit the 1,000 points, it kind of lifted a little weight off my shoulders, I guess.
I actually was aware. I knew how many I needed. Everybody knew pretty much on the team how many I needed. So I think the impact of the game was meaningful to me, and all my teammates wanted to get me the ball, and I'm just like, just play basketball, like, it'll come to me, like, and it took me to the fourth quarter to get it. It was just play basketball, play how we've been playing, it'll come to me. If it comes, it comes, and it did, and you know, I'm happy for it, I'm grateful for it.
So it's your senior year. I gotta throw this in there just a little bit, you know, 1,000 points now. You look back on your career, you know, what has being a Bluffton Beaver meant to you? Obviously, the season's not done yet, so I'm not saying it's over. You know, we've already talked about what each one of your guys' season goals is, and it's winning a conference tournament, and I fully believe both of you guys can do that. But looking back on the career, you're 1,000 points down, and you're going to be in Bluffton history books. You know, what has been being a Bluffton Beaver meant to you guys these past 4 years?
I think it's been a great honor. Like, a lot of people don't get to play college basketball, and this is something that I enjoy, and this is something that I've been growing up and wanting to do. This has been a dream of mine, whether it was D1, D2, or D3. Being a Bluffton Beaver will always be something that I'm going to cherish down the road in the future with the family. It's just a great honor to be a part of, and it's a great program to be a part of, and I'm glad I've developed the great relationships that I have with coaches and players.
Yeah, like she said, since I was little, I wanted to play college basketball at some level. You know, obviously everybody's goal is Division One or Division Two, and then you get to Division Three and you realize how good it is. You know, like, these are the best players from many high schools. Like, so to play Division Three and at a college where the team is so tight-knit and and the community is very supportive. It's been great. It's not about, I mean, scoring is great. 1,000 points is great. Championships are awesome. But after the whole thing's said and done, it'll be nice to have a big family that I can rely on.
All right, so a little bit left in the season. You both are, you know, still in that, you know, run to make that conference tournament. Both teams looking like you're about fifth or sixth place, I think, for both of you. What's the mindset? You know, a tough loss yesterday at Rose Holman. So what's the mindset going into this, the rest of this second half of conference?
Right now it's one day at a time. We got to continue to get better each day. We got to stay healthy. We got to get healthy. And then we just got to take it one day at a time. We got to win on Wednesday. We can't worry about Saturday until Wednesday's done. And we just got to make the tournament. Once you make the tournament, anything can happen. So we just got to be in the top six. That's the goal.
Yeah, same thing Renner said. The goal right now is to be top six. And, you know, the goal right now is really not, oh, make tournament. It's just about getting better and growing and just take, like you said, take one game at a time. Like, you know, we've lost games that we should have won and that it happens, you know. So I believe that, you know, moving forward, we're about to repeat the conference again. So moving forward, like, this is a different impact. People know each other's tendencies right now. So it'll be a lot of tension because everybody's goal is to get into the tournament. So I think that, you know, just take one game at a time, continue to work hard at practice, bring lots of energy. If we can do those three things, then we should have a good chance of making it into the tournament. So.
Yeah, I'm excited. I always love when you guys have home games. We have another home game for the men on Wednesday, so we haven't got to see the girls play in a while, but we'll get you guys on Saturday. But I'm excited. I wish you guys luck the rest of the season. Again, congratulations on the 1,000 point. That's awesome. I think I scored like maybe 100 points in my high school career, so not really that score in high school. I was just more that, you know, get the steal and get it to the guys that could. But, I mean, that's a huge honor, so congratulations. And I can't wait to watch the rest of the season, and it's going to be hard watching Bluffton Beaver basketball next year without you guys. So.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
And that was my interview with TJ Mills and Andrew Renner. Wish them luck the rest of the season as they do still have this second part of conference. As Trent and I said, they're both in right around fifth and sixth place, so in the tournament, but it's going to be coming really, really close. They need to get some huge wins in this second part of conference, hopefully, so that way they can, you know, host a home game. Trent and I would love to be able to call one extra game and just to have the pleasure of getting to play at home and being able to have the backing of the fan support would be pretty awesome. But there were two games for the men this week, two games for the women this week. And there was a track meet on Friday night. So we will go ahead and start with the men's game on Wednesday.
Bluffton University men's basketball team played host to Manchester University Spartans in a Heartland Conference clash on Wednesday, January 22nd. The Beavers led for most of the contest until late in the second half when the visitors would take a lead and hold on for a 52-48 victory. Bluffton fell to 8-8 overall and 4-5 in Heartland Conference, while Manchester improved to 6-10 overall and 4-5 in the HCAC.
The home team came out of the gate hot, going up 8-2 early when Desmond Brown would get to the hoop and lay one in with 17:09 left in the first half. Bluffton led for much of the game, but the Spartans would not go away. They rallied for the lead when Matthew Westman nailed a three to make it 43-41 with just under 7 minutes on the clock. Manchester's defense got it done down the stretch, helping the visitors secure a 52-48 win over the Beavers.
Bluffton opened up a 10-point lead when Jared Kennard knocked down a three to make it 17-7 with 10:40 left in the first half. The visitors would stay close and cut it to 8 when Westman got to the rack and converted to make it 28-20 with 43 seconds left in the half.
Following the break, both teams traded buckets early, but the Spartans trimmed it to 2 when C.J. Hampton tipped one in, which made it 34-32 in favor of the home team with 14:07 left in the second half. Bluffton will push the lead back up to 7 when Brown nailed two free throws, 41-34, with 10:25 to play.
The visitors stormed back and took the 46-44 lead when Jalen Owens drilled a three with 5 minutes to go. Two late free throws from Andrew Renner put the home team up 48-47 with 2:20 left, but the Spartans' defense came up clutch, and their offense made enough plays to secure the 52-48 win.
Brown led the way with 12 points on 4-12 from the field. Renner checked in with 11 points, and he pulled down a game-high 12 rebounds to go along with a game-high 5 assists.
Bluffton hit 17 of 53, 34% from the field, including 6 of 22, 28.6% from distance. The home team pulled down 38 rebounds, one more than the Spartans. The Beavers coughed up the ball 13 times, two more turnovers than the visitors.
The Beavers were then back in action on Saturday when they traveled to Rose Holman. The men played at 1, women followed at 3:30. And the basketball team did lead by as many as 11 points in the first half and never trailed until the 12:47 mark of the second half. But Rose Holman took over from there as the Engineers posted a 65-51 victory in Terre Haute on Saturday, January 25th. Beavers fell to 8-9 overall and 4-6 in the Heartland Conference, while Rose upped its mark to 8-9 and 5-5 in the HCAC.
The visitors got out to an early 8-0 lead when junior Ronnie James nailed a three-point shot with just under 15 minutes to play in the first half. Bluffton would extend their lead to 20-11 on an Isaiah Taylor double with 6:37 left in the first half. The Beavers controlled the action throughout the first half, but the Engineers would get hot in the second half, and their defense was stifling as they handed Bluffton the 65-51 loss in Hulbert Arena.
Bluffton opened up an 11-5 lead when Zeddy Pollock drained a three ball with 13:49 left in the first half. They led, went to 17-7 following an Andrew Renner free throw with 12 minutes on the scoreboard. But the home team would not go away as they climbed back, cutting their deficit into 24-22 when Eli Combs hit one from distance.
Following the break, the visitors extended their lead to 31-25 when Taylor got to the rack with 17:26 to play. Rose Holman would strike back and cut their deficit to 37-35 when Samet Ram dropped a two-pointer with less than 14 minutes to play. The home squad took their first lead of the game on a Vuk Djuric free throw, and the Engineers did not look back, sealing a come-from-behind victory for the home team.
Andrew Renner with 8 of 14 from the field on the way to a 6th career double-double as the senior finished with a game highs of 18 points and 13 boards. Taylor and Pollock finished with 12 and 11 points respectively. Pollock hit 3 of 6 from long range, while Renner doled out 5 assists.
Bluffton hit 22 of 55 from the field, 40% shooting, but just 5 of 23, 21.7% shooting from outside the arc. The Beavers were perfect from the charity stripe, but they got there just twice, while Rose Holman went 11 of 15 for 73.3% from the line. Rose controlled the glass with a 39-31 advantage on rebounds, and the home team turned it over three fewer times, 14-11.
The Beavers returned to Somers Center on Wednesday, January 29th, for a 7:30 p.m. matchup with Earlham College, just 2 weeks after dropping a 74-67 decision to the Quakers in Richmond. Come out and support your Beavers. If you can't, Trent and I will have that on 96.1 The Wit. You can also pull up the live stream, and Trent and I's voices will be on there as well. We will move on to the women. Unfortunately, tough loss. Got Aaron Rich back, but Jameel Cosby now out with mono. Starting point guard definitely is going to hurt not having him.
Yeah, and Rich is still not up to 100% as he wasn't in the starting lineups for either of those two games. He was coming off the bench. Zeddy Pollock stepped in for him, and Ronnie James is still in the starting lineup, being the starting point guard, because Jameel is now out, as Pat said.
So hopefully Jameel heals and gets better quickly, as the Beavers will definitely need him down the stretch. But more important thing is his health, so hopefully he can get healed up as quick as possible. Women's basketball team did travel to Manchester University on January 22nd for a matchup with the Spartans. The Beavers dropped a 69-65 decision as they fell to 9-7 and 3-5 in the HCAC.
The visitors got on the board first when Brianna Gillig hit a layup. The lead was short-lived as a 17-5 run for the Spartans gave them a 17-7 lead at the end of the first quarter. Kylie Brock sparked the Bluffton offense when she got to the rack and then followed that with a trifecta to make the score 21-12. TJ Mills hit back-to-back layups midway through the second quarter, cutting the deficit to just 3, 24-21. The Spartans' offense sparked again before Brock hit another jump shot to send the Beavers into the break with a score of 37-27 in favor of Manchester.
Junior Nora Heminger dropped a 2 to cut the Manchester lead to 8. Another 6-0 run for the Spartans put them up 49-34 with 4:02 to play in the third. Beaver offense struggled as they headed into the final quarter down 56-38. 3 Gillig free throws early in the fourth made the score 60-41. She continued to power the Beavers in the fourth quarter, but it wouldn't be enough as they dropped the 69-65 decision.
Gillig led the Beavers with 26 points and 12 rebounds for her fifth career double-double. Brock and Heminger tallied 10 and 9 points respectively. Abby Parkins pulled down 11 rebounds in the loss. Mills came up with 5 steals at Manchester, giving the senior 199 for her career, which surpassed Lisa Wigging, 196, for the top spot on Bluffton's career list.
Yes, I should have asked TJ Mills about that as well. Might have to bring her back in, but that's an awesome accomplishment there for TJ. For the shooting on that game, Bluffton connected on just 25 of 70, 35.7% from the field, and an anemic 3 of 21, 14.3% from distance. Manchester was able to hit 26 of 55, 47.3%, 5 of 12, 41.7% from deep. Beavers drained only 12 of 21, 57.1% free throws compared to Manchester's 12 of 18, 66.7%. Bluffton pulled down 9 more boards, 45-36, and caught the ball up 5 fewer times, 22-17. Then the Beavers were back in action on Saturday when they traveled to Terre Haute, Indiana, to face the Fighting Engineers, where they did fight into the last seconds but dropped a 43-40 decision to the Engineers. The loss dropped Bluffton to 9-8, 3-7 in the HCAC, while Rose Holman improved to 3-14, 2-8 in the HCAC.
It was a slow start to the game as both teams were scoreless until the 4:56 mark when Emma Saltzman dropped in a layup to put Beavers on top 2-0. Sammy Shardo hit a triple to put Bluffton up 5-2, but Rose answered back with a 3 of their own to tie it up at 5. A 9-1 run for the Engineers would give them a 14-6 lead at the end of the first.
Saltzman and TJ Mills hit back-to-back shots to cut the deficit to 6, 16-10 early in the second. 2 Saltzman freebies pulled the Beavers within 5 before trifectas from Mills and Peyton Henry closed the gap to just 2, 21-19 at halftime.
The Beaver offense sparked early in the second half when Nora Heminger made a layup to tie the game 21-21. Buckets from Brianna Gillig and Mills gave Bluffton a long-awaited 25-21 lead. Rose Holman was able to pull within 1, but Kylie Brock hit a shot in the paint to push the Beavers ahead 28-25. 3 free throws increased the Bluffton lead to 7, 35-28, going into the final quarter.
Engineer offense picked back up as they went on a 12-2 run to take a 41-37 lead with 38 seconds to play in the fourth. Mills hit a crucial 3, which pulled the Beavers within 1 point, 41-40. But it wasn't enough as Rose Holman converted 2 shots from the charity stripe to secure the 43-40 victory.
Mills led the Beaver offense with 11 points and 3 steals. Close behind was Saltzman, who put up 9 points with 4 rebounds. Gillig led the defense with 7 boards, while Heminger pulled down 5 rebounds and had a team-high 4 steals.
Bluffton struggled mightily from the field as they were only able to bucket 14-58, 24.1% shots, including 4 of 14, 28.6% from far. Rose Holman netted 15 of 47, 31.9% of shots, with 4 of 10, 40% from 3. The Beavers hit 8 of 13, 61.5% at the line. Engineers converted 9 of 13, 69.2%. Home team pulled down 14 more boards, 46-32, They also turned the ball over 12 more times, 23-11, as Bluffton came away with 14 steals. The women will be back in action on Wednesday, January 29th, when they travel to Richmond, Indiana, for a contest with the HCHC foe Earlham College. Tip-off is slated for 7:30 p.m. Go Beavers. Beavers did beat Earlham earlier in the year. And a comeback win for the Beavers to come back and win by four after trailing by as much as 12, I believe. So good luck to the Beavers, as they will have to travel to probably a hostile environment, as the Quakers were not happy about losing that game earlier in the year.
Yeah, we see both of these teams struggling a little bit, either early on or late in the game, just with shooting. Their shooting percentages haven't been the greatest. And earlier, before Pat was interviewing TJ and Renner, I was in here while they were talking, and they both said that they're just struggling right now. Everybody's struggling to hit their shots, and they don't really know what's wrong, per se. But we do see spurts here and there where they're going off a little bit, and that's how they're able to keep some of these games closer. But just we hope to see a little more consistency in their shooting to hopefully rise in the conference. So, as Pat said, they can get that home game, and we'll be able to hopefully host. And we've heard from a lot of different schools that it's hard to play here at the Sommer Center. So a home game in conference tournament would really be a little bit of a home field advantage type of thing.
The Bluffton track team was back in action for a short trip to Ada for the Larry Cole Invite at Ohio Northern University on Friday, January 25th.
There were some stellar performances on the women's side. Senior Bailey Barrington broke the school record for the 1,000-meter run with a time of 3 minutes 16 seconds. She ended up 8th in that field. Another record was broken by freshman Caitlin Renner in the long jump. Renner jumped 5.07 meters, which put her in 3rd in the competition, and that distance has her 1st among HCAC long jump competitors.
The sprints, jumps, hurdles, and pole vault group had a solid day with season best and personal records. Sophomore Brandon James set a personal record in the 60-meter hurdles with a time of 9.04, which placed him in the finals. James is currently 5th in the HCAC. Renner also completed in the 60-meter hurdles, qualifying for the finals. Freshman Maddie Schieffer and Stacy Cherwa ran personal records in the 60-meter dash.
Sophomore Dalton Tanner ran a season best in the 60-meter dash. In the 200-meter dash, senior Sienna Hosteller and Tanner both ran season bests. Freshman Taja Lewis and junior Christian Parker also ran PRs in the 200-meter dash. Senior Justin Kaufman had another great performance with a personal record in the pole vault, 4.35 meters. Kaufman finished 5th in the field, which has him in 2nd amongst HCAC pole vaulters, and is tied for 4th amongst all Division III pole vaulters in Ohio.
The distance side also had quality performances. Senior Connor Golick had an impressive but tactical race in the mile. Golick ended up with a personal record of 4:36, which put him in 5th place at the meet, and also makes him 7th amongst all HCHC milers. The women's 3,000-meter run had a speedy start and an intense finish. Senior Alexis Cash and Ari Cox had impressive season best with times of 11 and 11:58, respectively. Cash came in 4th, and she is currently 4th among the HCHC 3,000-meter runners.
And to cap it off, the throwers group had an impressive evening. In the men's shot put, freshman Michael Linderst and Henry Wright had personal records. Senior John Jones had another impressive performance in the weight throw. He threw a personal record of 15.89 meters, and he feels there is much more to come. He finished 3rd in the event, 2nd among HCAC throwers, and he is tied for 3rd amongst Division III competitors in Ohio.
Tonight was a great day for the Bluffton track and field. We had school records broken, personal records recorded, and season best performed by our athletes. And this is only the 3rd meet of the season. As a coach, it is so exciting to see my athletes perform at this level. There's still so much more to come over the next few weeks. Coach Yakno stated, reflecting on the performances of her athletes.
The Beavers will head back to ONU in Ada on Saturday, February 1st for the Joe Banks Invitational. Come out and support the Beavers starting at 11 a.m.
And this track team is already, as Coach Yakno said, breaking records left and right, which is pretty awesome. We're going to probably try and get Bailey Barrington and Caitlin Rinder in here at some point to interview them, just to congratulate them, see what they have to say about breaking those school records and how they continue to probably try and add on to that record to make it even harder to be broken in the future. But just awesome for this track team. I hope they can continue to keep improving, continue to get more athletes qualified for the HCAC meet and give them an opportunity to go out and get some first place finishes in the conference meet. Other than that, tune in on Wednesday for the men's basketball game at home against Earlham. Trent and I will be back in action next Sunday. Trent, go ahead and wrap it up.
That wraps up this episode of the Beaver Dam. We thank you for listening and encourage you to come back and listen to us next week. Check out previous podcasts. Search and subscribe on iTunes or Google Play, The Wit 961 Podcast at Bluffton University. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at the Beaver Dam 961. For more stories and information, check out our website, blufftonwit.com, and subscribe. This has been Trent Mass, joined along with Patrick Spillman. And we thank you for listening to 96.1 The Wit.
Roll Beaver.